Hello, everybody, and welcome back. And now, normally, this is the part where I say welcome back to another episode, but I'd be lying if I said that this was just any other episode, because this happens to be my 200th interview episode. And, you know, with a big number like that, you need somebody worthy of such an occasion. And odds are, you know, with most of the guests that I've had on from this franchise, one thing can be certain is, with my guest today, you cannot tell the story of, you know, the real world, the challenge. You can't tell the story of the franchise without this person. Miss Beth, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you? Cheers. Cheers.
Listen, I just need a quick exhale, because with that intro, now that it's finally out of the way, you can
200 episodes. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad that you're able to be here to celebrate it with me because, you know, as you know, I've told you just now and before, like, you know, I consider you one of the pioneers of this thing. Like reality TV, you know, you've kind of seen it evolve from each, you know, span of what we've kind of been in. Like you've seen it from all different angles, I feel like. So you're the perfect guest to have for such a, you know, occasion such as this. So thank you. I'm glad that you're here.
I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be here. And who would think that after over 30 years that I would still be doing challenges? It's really crazy.
Well, let me ask you then, since you bring it up, what draws you back to want to keep doing the challenges? Like, what is it about the challenges for you that you find, you know, kind of captivating, intriguing, you know, whichever?
I grew up playing sports. So I'm just a super competitive person, and I any kind of opportunity that I have to play a game or play a sport, that's my jam. So that's what I love to do. And I find it interesting that as adults, why is it that after we leave high school and college, there's no more group sports anymore? Why is that? Why is that? So
that's a good question.
So to be able to go back on something like the challenge, as an adult and as somebody, you know, in your 50s, especially, there's not very many opportunities in life where you get to do something like this. So I try to clean the slate on my end every time I go back.
You make a fantastic point by saying that, because you're right. You know, it seems like once you leave college, you know, the opportunities to take part in competitive stuff seemingly aren't quite there, right? Like they're sort of viewed as like, oh, you know, that was something you do like when you're a kid. Whereas like the challenge offers, you know, adults like the opportunity, like you said, to like still do like cool stuff. Like even, you know, even parents need a break, you know, like they need to go and have like, you know, competitive side to them too. They can't just be all the kids having fun. So that's definitely, you know, something that I feel like, but something also that you've taken part of in recently, something very new, but from what I've seen, and I've obviously been a part of one of the episodes, you guys are doing a fantastic job with it, is you're actually a podcaster in your own right now.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're having a lot of fun. I'm doing a podcast with John Brennan, my roommate from the second season of The Real World. John and I have been real friends ever since we filmed The Real World in 1993. And before COVID started, I purchased everything I needed in order to do a podcast. And I also thought it would be fun for my kids to play around with during COVID. And that kind of didn't happen during COVID. And then John was like, hey, you know, I would love to do a podcast with you. And I'm like, really? This will be so much fun. Let's do it. And yeah, it's been really, really fun to get to reconnect with people that we've met throughout our lives and reconnect with people. It's been great. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, as obviously I've done it with you before, so I got to kind of see, and you guys are doing like a tremendous job, like just almost like immediately. Like sometimes people, it takes a while. Even me, like, it took a while to kind of like, for it to like feel like it clicked, where it feels like you two have like such a flow to it. And when I was talking to you, it was like almost having a conversation like with a friend, right? Like, I was like, this is just good conversation. So then also when I crossed my mind with some of the dynamics that you've had on the challenge, it almost made me feel like, how could anybody have conflicts with her? So I was I was kind of curious on your end. Have you figured anything out like new about yourself throughout this process? Like, has something with doing this podcasting surprised you about yourself?
Oh, something surprised me about myself. I mean, look, I mean, first of all, when you're on the challenge, it's a game. Mm-hmm. So it's not really real life, right? But it's you in that situation with the group of people that you're in, and all the dynamics could really change how you might react in a situation. Because that's not my real life. And when I'm doing my podcast, I'm in real life. So yeah, I'm definitely a different person when I'm in my real world. So
right, you're able to kind of separate the, you know, the game from like what's, you know, real. Like, you know, let the two bleed together.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, obviously, as you know, like, you and I have kind of wanted to be doing this for a while. But, you know, one of the reasons why I'm really flattered that you're here is because I know that you don't do, like, if any of these often, you know. So that's why I'm flattered to have you here. What's kind of been, like, you know, any reason on your end for possible trepidation when it comes to, like, you know, things such as these or anything media related? Do you feel like there might be some misconceptions? Are those things that scare you? Do you feel?
No, not really. I don't know. I haven't done a lot of podcasts. I mean, I'm doing yours right now. Derek asked me to do it. Derek and I made up after being on All Stars 1, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'll totally support whatever it is you're doing. And I did his podcast. And then Mark was doing a podcast. Is it Mark still doing his podcast? I don't even know. But podcast, and he asked me, and I said, look, you know what? I don't normally do a podcast, but if you want me to do it, I'll do it to support you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like to be supportive of people in my life. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all about supporting other people. So, I think your podcast is great. You're a supernatural, supernatural power of being a host and an interviewer. So cheers to you and what you're doing.
Thank you. Well, we could, you know, celebrate this together, celebrate each other together. And I want to ask you, since we're celebrating, you know, your time that you've spent on TV, I kind of want to ask you now, Beth. If you were to, if young Beth was to envision, like, you know, X amount of years from now, I will have done this. Did you ever anticipate that TV would have been, like, anything in the cards for you? Did you have other, you know, potential plans as for things that you would have liked to have taken part in your life, too?
Well, so my background was music. Mm-hmm. When I first moved here, and when I was in college, I was working for a station. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. And so I was working for a rock and roll station in Cleveland, which is now an iHeart station, which is WMMS in Cleveland. And I just loved everything about the music industry. And music is such a big part of my life. And when I came out to Los Angeles, my very first job was being Axl Rose's assistant. Mm-hmm. During his trilogy music videos of like November Rain, Don't Cry. And yeah, so I think if I didn't get on the real world, I probably would be working in music. Probably that's probably what I would be doing.
Like as a producer, you feel?
I don't know. Maybe managing. Mm-hmm. Maybe being like a music agent or a manager, working for a record label. I don't know. music label. Who knows? Who knows?
Was your time spent around music sort of how you discovered the real world? Because I know, like, music, television, and MTV was very, you know, they were still doing music videos at that time, right?
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I first started watching MTV, and I was completely obsessed. I mean, and I tell my kids all the time, like, you don't understand how big MTV was. Mm-hmm. It was, like, bigger than TikTok, MTV.
That probably was what TikTok was.
And everybody wanted to be on MTV, right? You wanted to be, you know, going to those spring breaks when you were in college. You wanted to go to Florida and be with those VJs on the beach and participate. And when the opportunity came, and I saw the first season of The Real World, and I was like, oh my God, Eric Nice is so hot. And everybody on that show, Heather B and Julie and Norman, they were chasing their dreams, and they were working hard, going after what they wanted in life. And that really attracted me. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. And I looked up to them, and I'm like, I want to do this show. I want to be on this show.
So then from there, I'm assuming it would have probably been like an open casting call in Ohio, probably.
No. I was living in LA. I was here already. Yeah, I was here already. I went to Ohio University, and then I moved out here, and I was here for 6 months. I was working for Guns N' Roses, and then I didn't even see a casting call. I was looking at the Hollywood Reporter, and there's a section where you can see things that are going into production, and I saw season two of The Real World, but it wasn't even announced yet that they were looking for cast members. So I called the production office and I said, hey, I'd really like to audition for The Real World. How can I do that? And they're like, well, you can come pick up an application. So I drove to the Universal building, and I went up to the 33rd floor, got that application. And while I was working, I would slowly fill it out. It was a super long application. And, you know, they followed me around a few times. You know, and just when I thought I was so close to getting it, they were like, you've got to fly to New York City on Christmas Eve. It's down to, you know, 20 people. And if you don't come, you're not considered. I was like, what? And I was like, I called my mom. I'm like, Mom, I got to get a plane ticket to New York City. And it was like a huge snowstorm. It was crazy. And when I did the Real World Homecoming reunion, Glenn told me that he was there on Christmas Eve.
But you didn't meet him yet at that point?
Well, he said he remembers me, but I was completely like, I wasn't paying attention to anybody else, because I thought, like, you know what? I'm not even going to look at the other people, because it's just going to freak me out. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not competing, you know, I didn't want to put myself in a position to think like I'm competing with these other people. I wanted to focus on myself. Because I feel like when you're worried about what other people are doing, then you're already losing.
Right, because you're not able to focus on the task.
Yeah, you're not able to focus, because it's not about these other people. It's about me and showing up and doing the best I can at being my authentic self. Right? So, yeah. And whatever it is in life, and that's what I try and tell my kids also. Like, don't worry about what the other people are doing. Focus mm-hmm. on what you are doing. And be the best you can be. So that's what I try to do. That's what you can do. Yeah, that's what I try to do. So,
how supportive was you know, your mother when it came to, you know, wanting to pursue this? Like, was she like, yeah, go after it, or was she kind of trying to steer you away, or where was she?
No, I mean, my mother has always been extremely supportive in anything that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Anything that I wanted to do. My dad died when I was younger, and my mom had to start working. And so I think she was just kind of focused on what she was, you know, how she was building her life and how she was going to make money and support herself and support me. And so I had a lot of leeway growing up. And I think because of that, I really learned a lot. And yeah, I mean, I would be like, Mom, hey, I got to do this. I got to do that. And she'd be like, okay. you know, she just support anything I wanted to do. So I was lucky. I was lucky because I don't know. I don't know if I had super controlling parents, how that would have turned out for me.
So you kind of seemed more prepared for the real world than others then, because, you know, from the sounds of it, like you were, you know, kind of like given trust already, like from a young age. So you were able to kind of like experience, I feel like, more, more of what life like either has to offer or throws at you from a younger age. So you're probably more equipped than, like, you know, even John, let's just say, because like that was more of a culture shock for somebody like him, who at that time, you know, him and his parents were like this. So,
yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I'm a few years older than John. So mm-hmm. I finished college and John was just coming out of high school. But I mean, I didn't know. I was definitely having culture shock and trying to figure out who I was as a person. I mean, I was completely lost when I did the first season of The Real World. And living in Ohio, we didn't have the internet and all these things that the kids have now. So, you know, I grew up, I would say lower middle class, and I had no idea. I had no idea. Like, I didn't know what Gucci was, Gucci and Chanel and all this. I mean, I was super into clothes, but like, I didn't even know what any of that stuff was. I was like, wow.
How weird was it when seeing a camera following you for the first time? Like, how long did it take you to adjust to that, do you feel?
I mean, it was a pretty quick adjustment. I mean, when I was growing up, I used to host a show called Teen Scene. Mm. And we would interview people when they came to town. Like, we interviewed the Jets. I don't know if you remember.
Like
the band, the Jets.
Yeah.
So we interviewed Tiffany. Mm-hmm. She came to town. Anyway, so my background, I had, you know, some background in that. And then when I went to college, I majored in television, film, and radio production. So I did a lot of stuff in front of the camera. And, I was involved in a lot of plays growing up as well. So I don't know. I mean, it was a little weird to have the cameras nonstop 24/7 and not being able to turn it off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was a very strange situation and we weren't allowed to talk to the crew members. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like now on the challenge, like a lot of the cast members are buddy buddy with the crew members. But I mean, I was taught at the very beginning, like, you're not supposed to have any relationships with production, because then it takes away from the experience. And so that's just always something that has been instilled. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that was, like, from what I've been told, sort of like unspoken rule number one is, like, you're not supposed to look at the camera person, right? Like, because that's, in a sense, it's a documentary. So they're the ones supposed to be following your interactions with, you know, your roommates. So if you look at the camera person, you're almost like breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. But, you know, sometimes people would talk to the other cast members. I mean, I remember I had a friend come and visit me and she ended up dating one of the cameramen.
on your original Real World.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
How long are they still together, or did they?
Yeah. Oh no.
Not everything could have happy endings.
It was very short-lived, I'll say. And she was actually hiding under my bed during the whole David and Tammy scene. She was there,
mm-hmm. And so she witnessed
under the bed. She witnessed the whole entire thing. Mm-hmm. She was under the bed. I told my friend, I'm like, you got to come on my podcast and we got to talk about that, because you were there. Like, you saw everything.
She should have came on Homecoming too. Her input.
I know. She should have come on Homecoming. That would have been funny.
Well, you know, since we bring up homecoming now, I have to ask you, since, you know, we came back, it was the second homecoming, and sort of what I've gathered with a lot of like John and Irene sort of had some sentiments, like they kind of wished like they were able to talk more about stories of their own and kind of show more of themselves, because the show seemingly focused a lot on like the, you know, Tammy and David conflict. I want to ask you, is there anything that either you didn't feel like you got to show about yourself, or either we just didn't see it on air that you would have liked to have shared on this homecoming?
I mean, look, you know what? Life is just not fair. It's just not fair, right? I mean, I guess like, you know, I could pick and judge what production, why they did what they did. But that's not going to get me anywhere. But I mean, I do think that they tried to focus on certain topics, instead of just focusing on what, like, I think fans would really want to know, which is a little more about us. I don't think that anybody watched the homecoming learning more about me, who I am, and my background. They didn't show any of that. You know, which is fine. They decided not to. You know, I know a lot of fans were like, how come we didn't get to learn anything about your, you know, what you do in your real life? I mean, they did plug my lashes, by the way. Where are my lashes?
Yeah, see, there you go.
Illusion lashes, Beverly Hills, for an instant eye lift without plastic surgery. So they did show my eyelashes, which was cool. That was nice. I got a nice little plug on the show. But, you know, it would have been cool to, because I was going through a lot of stuff. A lot. Like my life was upside down. Upside down at the time.
Do you feel like entering the house at that particular time then was like bad for you then mentally, or do you feel like being there helped distract you from what you were going through at the time?
You know, look, it was hard to mentally put everything that I was going through and set it aside and go and do the show. I did my best, but yeah, I was going through a lot at the time during that. During that and All Stars 3, like so much stuff. Yeah, so it was a lot. It was a lot. And you know, I'm pretty strong mentally. So I would have to say this is probably the first time in 30 years, you know, through all of this stuff that like I kind of lost it a little bit. I kind of lost it a little bit. Just because I was going through so much, like I couldn't handle everything. So
Are you comfortable sharing what you were going through at all?
you like that?
Yeah, there's a throwback for everybody. There you go.
Me. That's me. And here's John.
Oh, look at that guy.
Look at these two. Look at these two. Yeah, no, I mean, I was just going through you know, a lot of stuff with my husband and my kids at the time. And you know, we've got we've you know, we're everybody's okay now, which is great. But yeah, I mean, so that definitely affected who I was when I went on the homecoming and when I went on All Stars 3, like 100, 100. So,
Did you talk about anything like on Homecoming that like we didn't see get aired at
oh
all?
no, I definitely did.
Oh, okay.
I definitely talked about it, but they didn't air any of it.
Does anything come to mind, like as far as like something noteworthy that you feel would have been, you know, fitting to kind of showcase? You don't have to answer, but I'm just kind
No,
of.
I mean, I just think, look, I just think that for the homecomings, I think the fans want to see, it gives the fans an opportunity to see what's going on in our real lives. And I think when it's not shown, it's, I don't know. I think the show could be better if they were to show what's really going on in people's lives, because I think that's what people want to see.
Right, because
You know,
growing up.
do a nice mixture of it, and they didn't do that. They wanted to focus on certain topics, a little too much that they thought, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be politically correct about certain things. And mm-hmm. We didn't have those issues in 1993. So I don't know. It was a little crazy. So
yeah, like,
you know what? I got to make up with, I left being friends with everybody.
Mm.
So that was great. You know, I mean, I loved that I had the opportunity. I apologized to Tammy, because I really thought Tammy was fake and phony
the first time around.
Oh yes. I really did. And, I was going through, my own things at that time. And, we were all butting heads. And so we didn't feel safe really talking about what we were going through at that time. So instead of really talking about some more important issues, I feel like we wasted a lot of time just arguing about things that really didn't matter. Like the whole Glenn thing, like Glenn's like always yelling at me about, you know, there's like dog shit on the roof. Oh, it must be Beth. Like everything was my fault. I'm like, I don't even have a dog. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
no, I definitely agree with you, because if you really think about it, the first few seasons, you guys were season two, very focused on people's backgrounds, upbringings, personal lives, and we saw glimpses, but not like a full, you know, sort of, you know, broad scope of what everybody's lives were like at that moment looking like. We kind of focused on, like you said, like some politically correct stuff, and also like seemingly just conflict for a large part of that. And I guess maybe a large part of that has to do with the fact of just sort of what reality TV is these days, if we're being kind of honest here. Like a lot of it is centered around just kind of like fighting, like conflict, like drama. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so
believe me, I got a lot of drama in my life. Okay.
Yeah. any more is just a cherry on top.
I mean, I think my real world life is a lot more interesting than, you know, Beth on the Real World or Beth on the Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
What did that look like for, 'cause I know you did deal with, like you said, Axl Rose, and you were in LA already, but what did like the post Real World life look like, in the sense of like, because I know there's appearances, especially when you're doing challenges too, a lot of like rubbing elbows with people out in Hollywood. I mean, you're still in Beverly Hills, so I'm sure over the years you've had your you know, fair share of run-ins like in the entertainment. What did that look like?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it was really fun to be on MTV. Like all of a sudden everybody knew who we were. And, yes, I mean, celebrities would come up knowing us. After I did the Real World, I went back and worked for Guns N' Roses, because those videos took so long to make. And, you know, Axl was watching it and he was making fun of John, and he would go, Beth, Beth, come here, Beth. And so he'd make fun of me. You know, I mean, look, it was fun. It was fun. But after the show, nobody knew what to do with us.
Mm.
They just didn't know. So I had to, you know, I would go on job interviews and I would just like, you know, hope that somebody would not recognize me. So I would downplay it. Like I wouldn't even tell them I was on the Real World, because I wanted the job. Like I needed to work. I needed to make money.
Did any doors close, like as far as that goes, like because of your time on TV?
I just think it was difficult because it was brand new. People didn't know what to do with us. And I did get a job working in casting. And after I got the job, Sean Hayes from Will and Grace, he would come in the office a lot and audition. And he came in and he was like, oh my God, you're Beth from the Real World. And he was like, so loud. And I was like, he's like, oh my God, I love the Real World. You're Beth from the Real World. I was like, oh my God, please stop. And then my boss heard, she was like, what? She's like, Beth, come in here. She's like, why didn't you tell me that you were on a show? I'm like, I don't know. 'Cause I wanted the job, you know, and I didn't want you to think that I was going to like flake or I wasn't serious about my job. So I didn't feel like it was important to tell you. So, you know, I got to keep my job, but, yeah, funny things like that would happen a lot.
Is an interaction like that, like either weird or overwhelming for you? Like, let's just say if, you know, tomorrow you're on the street and somebody recognizes you and like runs up to you in some way, like, oh, you know, I know you from the show. Is that like weird for you? Or like, how are you with an interaction like that?
Well, I mean, sometimes it's weird because sometimes people will come up like they're my friend. And then I'm like, oh my God, because I'm getting old and I can't remember. I mean, I have a really hard time remembering people's names, like a really hard time. So if somebody comes up to me and I'm like, oh shit, do I know this person? And I don't remember. So I'm like pretending and like trying to, you know, figure it out. And then they're like, oh yeah, I know you from TV. Like, so yeah. So that kind of messes with me because, I'm really bad with names. And right now my kids are at, they're at two different schools. So I have all these new parents at, you know, at two schools, and it's, yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I've got a bad memory when it comes to names. Unless I have an actual conversation with you, I might not remember your name.
Well, good. I'm in the clear then. That's where I
have I'll never forget you.
I'll never forget you. I could rest easy now.
But I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're young, you remember everything, but you'll see when you get older, the memory, you know, it starts to go a little bit. So, yeah.
Well, you were also a very, you know, key component in like, you know, like added opportunities for other MTVers because, you know, you had, you know, there was the sexiest men in reality TV calendar. That was very.
That's big. Right. That's right. Hold on. I'm going to grab one right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so, I've got, here's one, the sexiest men of reality TV, Derek. Look at Derek.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Who else is in this one? Oh, Adam Larson. Adam Larson is cute. Look at him. He's right there. There you go. And, there's Tenderoni, Nehemiah.
Yeah, how did this all come to be? Like that you were able to make this happen? Like what did that look like?
So I got a calendar deal with one of the largest calendar companies, and I pitched them the idea of the sexiest men and sexiest women calendars. And they were like, yeah, we love this. We want to do it. So, and then I filmed everything that happened. And then I actually edited the video together. And when pay-per-view was really big, I got a deal with pay-per-view. And so, yeah, that was a really good business for me. And so I did that for 5 years. I sold 1 year to VH1.
Wow.
Yeah, VH1 ended up doing a pilot, but it never aired. So VH1 has this show somewhere in the vault of what happened. And it was like Robin, Tanya, I think Trishelle. You know, there's a lot of great people, a lot of great people in this calendar. And there's a show that VH1 should, you know, MTV should put out. They've got it. They've got it in the vault. So, but a lot of people haven't seen the footage. So I have, hours and hours of footage and I've just been like sitting on it. I'm like, God, it would be really fun to get it out there. So I don't know if I'm going to start like a, I don't know. I got to do something where like, cause I know the fans would probably love to see like all of this video because it's just fun. It's just like a time capsule of all of these reality stars from the real world and Amazing Race and Survivor and American Idol. And it was just a good time. And I would throw these huge parties for the calendar. And like one year Hugh Hefner showed up with the Playmates, which he hardly ever goes to any parties. And I have this on video. He like comes with his girlfriends, the girls next door, and we put a couch outside for him. And and he was a huge fan of the calendars. So that was really, really cool.
Well, nostalgia is at an all-time high right now, so people would probably eat this up if you're ever to find a way to release this to the fans.
Yeah, I got to do it. I'm going to do it soon. I'm going to do it soon. I mean, if anybody has any suggestions for me, please write me, because, I'd like to figure it out, because it's a lot of footage, and it's just fun. You know, everybody's having a good time. A lot of people from the challenge that are currently on the challenge are in this video for sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Well, one thing that's always kind of impressed me about you, Beth, is off the show. You know, we talked about just this, like with the calendar stuff, you know, the eyelash stuff, even like taking it back to when we were talking about the Axl Rose. You're such like a hustler, and like you're very driven. Like where does this come from for you?
I think it has to do a lot with my upbringing, because nobody told me kind of what to do. I didn't have any boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to figure out life on my own. And I did have my mother's support, which was great. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of had to figure things out on my own. And so I just learned at a very young age, you know what, I'm going to create my own opportunities, because nobody's looking out for me. I've got to look out for myself. And so that's what I continue to do. And I try to talk to my kids about, if you want something, don't be sitting around waiting for it. Create things for yourself. Just like you created your podcast, Mike.
Everything you're saying right now is like knock on wood, because I had to just go out and make all this thing happen from scratch. I didn't have like, you know, the person with the in of being on the show or any like, you know, that it's a bad thing for anyone that does.
But I mean, look, you are a hustler, and that's why we're sitting here right now on your 200th episode. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I'm not drinking.
And look how young you are. You were not even born when I started reality TV. Oh my God.
Listen, I'm not drinking, but if I was, I would do an imaginary cheers to us right now, because, you know, us hustlers, we got to pat ourselves on the back every now and then. So
that's really amazing. Well, mm-hmm. You know what? It's amazing. It's amazing. And super cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just always the way that I've been my whole entire life. Creating opportunities for myself and for other people as well. So,
You know what else is amazing? Amazing TV, because throughout everybody's time on the show, there tends to be certain characters that stand out, and you're one of those characters, you know, for better sometimes, for worse some other times, that stands out. Like, you have such an imprint, you know, on the show. And my favorite season of yours, Beth, is The Gauntlet 2 in Trinidad and Tobago. Like, that was so fun to watch. Like, one scene of yours that I can never forget. And you might remember this. It's when you and Montana are talking on the beach, and you're sort of like trying to like make peace, and then she walks away, and you look at the camera, and you're like, just classic. And that, like, the reason why I bring this up is because I see like a popular conversation online is talking about sort of like the difference today with the challenges versus like the challenges, you know, even back then, right? And like, for me, just the personalities and just like stuff like that just stands out as just so like relatable, just so like authentic. You know, for you, like where does Gauntlet 2, like that experience for you, like sort of, you know, rank for your challenges that you've been on? Because watching that, I mean, it's my favorite that you've done. because you had Mark's birthday on the first day. I mean, that was an iconic one for me.
Yeah, I mean, look, I try to look at all of my experiences on the challenge. I try and focus on the positive things that end up happening, right? I'm definitely the underdog and probably continue to be the underdog on the show. And so I don't go into the game thinking that I'm going to have all these people on my side. So I'm already prepared to be thrown in. And yeah, I mean, some of those eliminations, I love them. Like, I love them. Like, I would love to do reverse tug of war again.
You won two of them on that.
I would love to. I would love to. I would love to. I would love to do some of those eliminations again. I think that'd be super fun. But yeah, I mean, I had a good time. I mean, when I watch it back, yeah, you know, it's kind of a bummer that my son is texting me.
No worries.
It's just kind of a bummer that we didn't get along. You know, I didn't get along with a lot of the girls. So yeah, I mean, that's a bummer, but you know, we're playing for money. I mean, back then it wasn't a lot of money, but I guess we thought it was a lot of money.
So. Yeah. I mean, today the money's definitely, and the prize is a lot.
But I mean, the challenge All-Stars was so great. Cause I mean, I did get to make up with some people, like Anissa mm-hmm. and I didn't really care for each other. And, she apologized to me. And she was very, very sweet. And they didn't show a lot of that in the show. But, I love that. And like, I accepted her apology. And when I say I accept someone's apology or when I apologize to somebody, I mean it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's real. And that's something about me. Like, I'm a super loyal person. And like, when I say something, I mean it. And if I like you, you know it. If I don't like you, you know it. And if somebody wants to start a fight with me, I'm going to come back fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fight even harder. And that's just my personality. And I'm not doing that just because I'm on a show, but that's how I am. That's who I am. And that's authentically who I am. So take it or leave it. That's who I am.
if certain people like want to refer to you as like the quote unquote villain, like, is that something that, you know, do you feel like any slight towards that, or will you kind of like go with it because, you know,
I mean, look, people can't, I've been called every name in the book. Mm-hmm. Okay. It doesn't affect me. It rolls right off me. The more people call me names, I feel the stronger I get. So, and I don't think I use my villain ways for evil. I use it for good. And, I represent all the underdogs out there. I think I represent all the women out there who have been bullied by other women in the past. Cause I was definitely bullied. I mean, it's crazy what some of the girls got away with back in the day. If they were to do that today, forget it.
Yeah. I mean, you got your clothes thrown in the pool.
Yeah.
For crying out loud.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, that was crazy. And so, yeah, so I removed myself from that situation. Cause I'm like, I'm not going to stay here, and continue to be on this show like this. This is not a healthy situation for me. So yeah. So when a situation is not healthy, you know what? I'm out. So
did you ever get reimbursed for those clothes, by the way?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
I don't think so. And, you know, that's another thing. That wasn't very cool. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like if something like that happens and somebody's on camera, like, damaging your things, then if production's not going to pay for it, then, you know what? Then the other people should be responsible for paying for it out of their paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So, but whatever. I mean, maybe someday we'll get a reality TV union. Maybe someday.
We'll put that out into the universe.
Yeah, whatever. It's okay. It happened. And yeah, it happened. It wasn't cool. And I wasn't happy at the time. But yeah. Shit happens.
Yeah, really. Do you feel like any of the conflicts, like you said, do you feel like you only take part when you yourself are feeling like someone else is coming after you first? It seems like there's, you know, generally a misconception, like when I just said a moment ago about like the villain stuff, right? Like, from speaking to you, it kind of feels like you only retaliate if it's done, you know, first to you. I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to go after somebody first, but if somebody comes after me first, game on.
Right.
So if that makes me a villain, For what it's worth,
you've got a great villainous laugh. That was another thing that we saw on the Gauntlet 2 as well.
Well, that's my laugh. That's my laugh in real life. And so, I have a unique laugh, maybe, let's say. And maybe that's part of my trademark. But yeah, I mean, that's my laugh. So. Mm.
Well, one thing I got to ask you about is your one elimination that you had against Svetlana on the duel. Do you know what I'm talking about? What was up with that? Because it wasn't just you that happened to. Later on in that season, CT had the same issue when he had his elimination. So.
They had to do it. But you know what was funny? CT was the one going, "Ah, Betha, you got it, Betha." And then you know what? Because production did it to me, they had to do it to him too. So, you know, karma. So CT got it as well. But yeah, I mean, look. The production, you know, it's a game, but, you know, there are things where production gets involved. And I think production wanted Svetlana there because she was new off a show instead of me. And I was doing really well that season, too. Really well. And, I mean, anybody watching that can see I won that elimination. I mean, it was fun. Like, bring that elimination back. I'd love to do that elimination again.
I think that's another thing people seem to forget too, is you're genuinely a good competitor. Like, it might sometimes get overshadowed by like maybe some of the, you know, quote unquote conflicts that you've had on the show. But like, if you, you know, really just look at it, you've proven on multiple different occasions, like you're genuinely a good competitor.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think I'm a good competitor. I love to compete. So, I mean, look, I definitely have my weaknesses. I think everybody has weaknesses in the game, but for the most part, I'm really, you know, I'm really good at eliminations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I expect to go in. So, I already think knowing that, you know, I'm going into elimination. So, nobody's catching me off guard when it comes to that kind of stuff. So,
Well, that season also saw the iconic debut of the Tenderoni nickname. How did you come up with that? Was that just a on the spot thing that you just?
I mean, look, it was funny, you know. We were joking around, and like, you know, I got that reference out of a song that I liked at the time. It was like Michael Jackson, PYT.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a line in there, Tenderoni. So, you know, people that know me know that I'm super sarcastic sometimes. Mm-hmm. And when I say things, I'm not serious. I'm just joking around. And that's what was happening with Nehemiah. Like, you know, it was just a joke. And yeah, I mean, people really ran with it. And then like Nehemiah got pissed because like people were like, oh, are you going to let Beth do that? She's calling you Tenderoni or whatever. You know, people got in his ear. So he got all self-conscious about it. And he was like, you need to stop doing that. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm just joking around, dude. Like, it's not a big deal. I think it's hilarious. But yeah, I mean, look, that reference came out of a song because I'm such a music person. And so, yeah, and that's why. And it just came out of a song. I was joking around, and that's it. It wasn't meant to be hurtful or anything like that. I mean, at the time, I really liked Nehemiah. You know, he was cute, whatever, but he was so young. I was so much older. So I was calling him Tenderoni. Yeah, he's a cutie.
Well, you know, around that time too, because you did do one more season after that, which was the Gauntlet 3. You did, you know, with, you know, just like you said, like Nehemiah was, his generation had just came in, like with the, you know, at that point, like the new wave of the younger cast members. Did you feel a shift at that point? Like from, let's just say, like, you know, I brought up the Gauntlet 2 before. Let's just say from Gauntlet 2 to 3. Like, you know, because you had your Johnnies and your Kenny and Evans and Wes's, they were coming in. Did you feel like a shift for you at that point, like with your experience on the show, like that the game had changed?
I mean, I'm from the very beginning, so I just think that the challenge was the best at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There were just elements about it that were just better. And the true vets are way better, I feel like, than the newer cast. I do like a lot of the newer cast, though. I mean, I love, you know what? I'm super obsessed. I love Horatio.
His
girlfriend. She's beautiful. Oh my gosh. That's a great couple right there. And you know, I like Cara Maria, I like Laurel. You know, there's a lot of the new players that I think are, you know, they're fierce.
Yeah.
That really stand out. But I think that we were cast for different reasons. Like I was cast because I was on The Real World, and so they do like an extensive, I don't know, deep dive into people's personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just feel like the casting process for being on The Real World is different, what used to be different. It wasn't about like, we're going to jump in a jacuzzi and have a threesome.
Right.
That kind of stuff. Right. Yeah. I mean, when I did my season, I had a couple boyfriends come and visit me. And like, I was like, I didn't even want to kiss them on camera. Cause I was like, whoa, like this is.
Cause that's like the equivalent of PD. Like if you think about it from this perspective, I'm glad you brought this up. The same way someone might look at like PDA in public is almost like the same thing with a camera person, like filming. Granted, it's for a show, but it's almost like the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I didn't want to kiss anybody on camera. So that was like, that was weird. That was weird. And I think both of those guys, I haven't really talked to at all. Like, I don't even know what happened to the one. The one guy. Oh, you know, what was really funny is that John was out a couple weeks ago and he called me and he's like, oh my God, you're not going to believe this. I just ran into a guy who told me that he knows, the guy that came to visit you on The Real World, the guy you were dating. And I was like, what? That is so crazy. I mean, I haven't even talked to him since 1994, wow. Maybe. But yeah, that was like super funny. Yeah. And then my boyfriend from college who came to visit me, like, yeah, we had a kind of like a falling out and never... I haven't talked to him in years, but I think he's probably upset. He didn't get a very good edit. I didn't really have any control of the edit.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I feel bad about that.
Yeah.
I do. I feel really bad about that. And I hope he's okay. And I hope that eventually someday we can talk and just be friends. Cause you know, it was kind of an awkward thing to happen. And be on TV
and
like that. Like, you know, like these people that weren't part of the cast, but now they're in like reruns and that memory is like forever. And I feel bad about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cause nobody's really prepared for that at that point.
Yeah, no. The second
season. So then after leaving Gauntlet 3, which was your last season of the main show prior to coming back to All-Stars, how come we didn't see you like from that extended, you know, time between, you know, Gauntlet 3 to All Stars 1.
So, after that, I got married and I started having kids And because I didn't have a mom that was like super present in my life, even though she was always very supportive, like she always gave me what I needed. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't like show up to things. She wasn't there for me. So I was like, you know, if I'm having kids, which I never thought I would, if I'm going to have kids, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to dive in and I'm going to be there for my kids. And I'm going to be the mom that shows up to everything and is present in their lives. So that's something that was like super important to me. So, yeah. So, I mean, I did that. I invented a cupcake maker. I sold it to an infomercial company. Oh, wow. Yeah. So I did that. Yeah. And then I came up with the idea for my eyelashes because I was like, gosh, you know, I'm getting older and I don't want to get plastic surgery. I think it's really sad that we see women feel like they have to remove ribs and get fake boobs and get plastic surgery. I mean, I just want to age gracefully and I'm too afraid to like cut up my face because, you know, I know where all the best plastic surgeons are. But you know, what if they make a mistake? What if they make a mistake?
Yeah. You're trusting somebody else with your face.
Like, I'm going to have to live with that for the rest of my life. And so, yeah, it was like, what can I do? I've got really bad hooded eyes and I need an eye lift, but I'm too afraid to do it. So I looked everywhere. I couldn't find anything. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to make my own strip lash that camouflages, you know, the excess skin. And it gives me a complete eye lift. Taking these on and off, I mean, you could see a huge difference. And so, yeah, I mean, I feel confident and I feel like, yeah, people pay attention when I'm in public, even though I'm an old lady now. So, you know, I feel they make me feel beautiful and confident. Mm-hmm. And so I mass produce them and, you know, people love them, which is great because they don't have to cut up their face and it's cheap and it doesn't damage your existing eyelashes and it's not expensive like eyelash extensions. So, yeah. So, I love having my own business and, getting the opportunity to go back to All Stars. Look, you know, it's been great. I really loved All Stars 1, not All Stars 3, obviously, but I loved All Stars 1. Yeah. If they can keep that old school vibe going, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I love to be able to go back and compete. And, you know, I just want people to know out there, like you're never too old to challenge yourself and to try new things and to be active and get out there and do it. And don't be afraid, because if I can do it, you can do it. Mm-hmm. for all the women out there.
Mm-hmm. Time to get into some good stuff here. We've gotten this far, obviously, without talking about it. And I think a lot of people would kind of be curious because, you know, obviously, as you know, I've interviewed countless of you guys. And yeah. I've had a positive experience with all of you. So I've always kind of wondered like where certain dynamics like don't mesh and like where it might've went wrong. Right. I think like two that really stand out with you that we've seen over the years, mm-hmm. Is sort of just not really being able to see eye to eye entirely has been like Tina and, you know, Veronica. Like from your perspective, like where do you feel like it went wrong with the relationship initially?
Well, wow. I mean, I don't think we really ever had a foundation to grow from. I mean, we're on the challenge together. So I don't know. I mean, look, I was very sincere on All Stars 3. To Veronica, and that I was willing to make up, but she just reverted completely backwards. I'm looking forwards. She's looking backwards. I think when the producers brought us into that double interview, which I've never seen them do that before, I thought that was a little wow. I mean, I had no idea that was happening, and she didn't either. Yeah. I mean, all it took for her to say was like, to me, like, oh, well, you just love your camera time or whatever. And they're like, really? I mean, I just found it unbelievable that she would say that. So, yeah. And then she got upset with me for pointing out that, honey, you're the one that was having threesomes on camera, not me. So, I mean, that's crazy to say that I'm after camera time. Yeah. So, I mean, I apologized to her and I meant it. And, I was not going to come after her, in gameplay. And, I meant that. And she was talking about me behind my back the whole time. And you know, making fun of my voice, just reverting back to being a bully. Which I think they showed a clip of her like making fun of me, making fun of my voice or whatever. So, you know, I just, at this point, I just feel sorry for her. She's obviously not happy in her life. She's either not happy in her life. She's jealous of me. Those are the only things it could be, because if she was truly happy, then she'd be able to just let it go and, move forward. But she's clearly triggered. She's got some trigger issues. And I don't know what to say.
Well, you were able to work.
I tried.
Or cause way back, we talked about it earlier with the, she was a part of the Sexiest Women on Reality TV, right? Yeah. Like the magazine that you did.
Oh yeah. So I put that deal together with Playboy.
So you were able to work with her there. I don't know where it went wrong.
No, yeah. I mean, she got angry. She got angry because she was upset because, in print, it's pretty standard where 20% goes to the agency from the talent and 20% goes. So for example, like Playboy would pay 20% mm-hmm. and the talent would pay 20%, which equals 40% for the company. And she's never modeled before, so she doesn't understand that, but that's standard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working for a company. I was running these deals through a bigger company. So yeah, so she's like, oh, Beth was trying to get my money. She was being shady. Like, no, honey, it's standard, but she still can't let that go. And then she said, well, I didn't end up giving you my money. I'm like, okay, well then what are you so angry about then? If you didn't pay it, what is the problem? You know, like, well, you only offered me $500 for your calendar. Like, honey, you show up for a bottle of wine for Challenge Mania. So I don't know what you're talking about. You do stuff for free. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know what her, you know, me offering $500, $500 is, you know, people are showing up for $500 back then, and they're still showing up for $500 and free clearly right now. So, you know, I mean, I pay people for my projects. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. I came with an open heart. I still come with an open heart. I'm happy to squash things and make up with her, but you know, she's just jealous.
Do you think that, because like she might've already been in the house prior to you coming in on All-Stars 3, that's sort of what led to, like, cause you mentioned before that All-Stars 1, great experience, All-Stars 3, not so much. Do you think like that had a part in why, like, maybe All-Stars 3 just didn't really, you know, jive for you right off the bat?
Well, I think coming into the challenge in the middle is bad for anybody.
Oh no, yeah,
well, that's just not a good position to be in. And actually, I said no, and then I should have stuck with the no. I should have just stuck. I should have just said, you know what, I'll do All-Stars 4. You know, and I, you know, I said it, and then they're like, no, but we really want you to go. And then I was like, oh. I really don't want to, but okay. You know, like I should have just gone with my gut, and I should have just waited to go on to another one. That would have probably been the best thing. So yeah, I mean, I just wasn't in a good, there was just a lot going on at that time. A lot.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, if you did All-Stars 4, then we might have never seen you again.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Is there an all-star squad? Does it exist?
No, the world may never know.
Is it a conspiracy theory? Like, where is
all-star? Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? But, you know, I'd love to see some old school people come back. You know, I'd really, look, what happened to Keena? I would love to see Keena.
She was like, during that time that I loved so much with the duel and the Gauntlet 2 stuff, she was very much involved with that. I'd love to see her like pop up whenever and make a return.
Oh, I'd love to see her. And I bet you she looks exactly the same. Oh, I mean, yeah. I haven't seen her. I'll have to look her up. Maybe we should both try and get her on. Has she been on your podcast?
She hasn't.
No? Oh, okay.
I think she's like,
out to her. She would be, I mean, if I were casting the show, I'd be like, where's Keena? Keena would be really, really good.
Mm-hmm. You should have got her in you should have got her in the sexiest women of reality TV.
I know, I should have. But yeah. I mean, I'd love to see more old school girls come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in a perfect world, I wish like Robin could come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope she's okay wherever mm-hmm. she is. I hope, you know, I really hope that she's okay. I mean, there's so many great people from the past that you can pull and bring in.
Right. So. Well, there's obviously, you know, an opposite end of the coin with the main people that you've sort of had differences with. As far as the Tina thing goes, is that ever one? Is that ever one that you're willing to kind of?
I mean, look, that's another one. Okay. Like she's just jealous. I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. And, you know, she writes really mean things online. And, you know, Veronica has too, just writing mean things about me online. And it's like, why? Take your energy somewhere else. Be positive. Go be positive. You don't have to waste your energy on me. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I just don't understand it. Like, I have no hate for those girls. I wish them well, you know. But yeah, it's hurtful when they say hurtful things about me. Yeah, I'm human. Yeah, it hurts. It hurts because I just don't understand where it comes from.
Yeah, that's the thing too. I mean, at least like with the Veronica thing, we could kind of point to like maybe some things like, oh, maybe the magazine thing might have played a factor. The Tina
thing. Still silly though. It's still silly.
No. Yeah, it's still it's still silly.
She's grasping at straws.
Right.
She's grasping at straws. She just doesn't like me. She's jealous of me. You know, that's it. Because any normal human being could be adult enough to be like, okay, let's move past this. I'm in a happy place in my life and this doesn't mean anything to me. And I'm happy, you know, I'm happy that we can squash this and move on. You know, like I've made up with Anissa. Anissa's great. You know, like I never thought I'd make up with Anissa. Anissa's great.
Well, a little birdie told me that actually this birdie happens to be your co-host of your podcast said that you were actually willing to like let Tina come on as a guest. Is that actually like a thing?
I mean, John was like, hey, can I ask Tina to be on? And I was like, whatever. I don't care. You know, like seriously, like I don't care. I don't care. I really don't care. Like I honestly have nothing against her or Veronica. The thing that I don't like is that they just come into this bully pack mentality where they'll just like call me names and evil things and be like, oh, that, see, there's a reason not to like her. See everybody, see. And it's like, you know what? I am human. I'm human just like everybody else. I make mistakes just like everybody else. So why is it that other people can make mistakes and be forgiven? And like, you know what? I should be the one who has a hard time forgiving you for all the crap you put me through, bullying me in the past, calling me old, fat, and ugly, which did not age well for them. Okay. That's not cool. But you know what? I'm willing to forgive it, but I'm not going to beg for forgiveness, but you know, I'm willing to set it aside and move forward, but they're not. So I just don't know what to say. What can I do? There's nothing I can do about it. So
yeah. Like, is there, like, what do you feel like would have to happen as far as, like, maybe the Tina front? Like, would an apology for you, like, suffice and to kind of put things in the past, you feel?
The thing I don't understand is, why can't you just say, you know what? It was really fucked up. I shouldn't have punched you. I should not be getting physical with people. That was totally uncool. I lost my control. I didn't like you, and I should have controlled myself, and that wasn't cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like you. Didn't like you. Whatever. Fine. But she can't say that. Instead, she turns it around now and brags about it. Like it's some medal of honor that she got to punch me. I mean, in what world is that okay? I just don't understand that at all.
Mm-hmm. Actually, this is a really good follow-up question because unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it in your case, you kind of exited out of the franchise at possibly a good time because right after you left, they started doing like all those formats of like pairing you up with your rival, pairing you up with an ex, like all that stuff. If you were to hypothetically have to be partnered up with somebody you've had a disagreement with on any of your shows, who would you want as like your partner if you were to ever do like a rivals season? Like, who do you think you would do well with as a partner out of people you've had disagreements with?
I mean, that's tough. But I can tell you that, well, first of all, I'd love to do the show with my husband. Because my husband is in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little younger. And yeah, we would slay. We would slay. If
slay.
I could do that. Oh, yeah. But I would be willing to be partners with anyone. And I'm willing to set things aside because I grew up playing sports and I understand that in order to be the best at what you're doing when you're playing a game, you've got to have a good relationship with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can do that, but I don't know if the other person can do that, but I can do that. And no matter what, call me any name you want, but I'm loyal. I don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% don't lie. Whatever I say, I am not a liar. I'm loyal. And yeah, I can put things aside. So people can know that like whatever I say, I mean what I say. Mm-hmm. I'm not playing games. I'm not trying to be sneaky. And I would never screw somebody out of like prize money or anything like that. Cause I just, you know,
so you wouldn't take the money and run like,
no, I would definitely split it. No, cause I couldn't live with myself.
Right.
It wouldn't be worth it to have to live with that, knowing that I made somebody else that miserable by taking money from them.
Right.
I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. You know what else was like really interesting about the shows back during like, you know, a Gauntlet 2, let's just say, like I heard, especially during like that season, when it comes to like filming, you all were able to kind of like go and do fun things on your own and then come back in a few days to refilm and stuff. Like I remember Mark Long was on here telling a story about how like him and some of the cast members, they would go and like get hotels like for themselves. And then like when they're ready to come back and film, like they would come back and film. Like it was that, you know, laid back then when you guys were first doing the challenges. Did you notice that difference too? Like on your last one with the Gauntlet 3 that compared to like the earlier days, it was less laid back.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. We had a lot more freedom to do mm-hmm. what we wanted. But now, I mean, there's a lot of people, a lot of different cast members, and you just, I guess, you got to lay down the law and you've got to have boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and, you know, unfortunately, one or two bad apples can like ruin it for everybody, right?
Right.
One person makes a mistake. does something stupid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you ever be open to possibly coming back to the flagship series? Like, is that something you would ever consider?
Yeah, I mean, I would consider it.
Mm-hmm.
I would consider it. I mean, right. I'm active and I stay in shape, so I mean, I'm ready if I'm called.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd like to start from the beginning. I don't want to go in the middle because
that would definitely help. I'd say
that's just not a great place to be.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like to start at the beginning, I think. And, yeah, you know, it's a new game and a new day. That's the way I look at it. So, yeah.
So lastly, I kind of do wanted to touch a little bit about another thing that happened on All-Stars 3 was the whole dynamic, you know, with the John A situation, of course. What maybe prompted that situation to escalate from your end between you and her on that show?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely not happy that I lost my cool. I shouldn't have lost my cool.
Mm-hmm.
But she came after me first, and she knows what she did, but she came after me first. And so I just didn't understand why she would try and come after me. And yeah, so that's basically what happened. And yeah. We did that elimination, and I just didn't understand why she just didn't feel like she could beat me fair and square.
So like the house helping.
So I blew up. So I blew up. Yeah. So I blew up, and yeah. I mean, I shouldn't have said it, but yeah. I mean, it. You know, things came out of my mouth, and I should have just. Bit my tongue, but yeah, I lost my cool, and yeah.
Like when you say about coming after you, mean like from a game perspective, like with trying to, like get you out of the game.
She was telling other people that like I was trying to get rid of them.
Uh-oh.
You know, just like lies out of nowhere, and I'm like, what? Yeah. So yeah, so I got pissed. Because there was no reason for it. And so, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. So I blew up. Because I just didn't understand.
Right.
Out of all the people, like, why are you telling people that? Because it wasn't true. It was like a total lie. And so, yeah. So I blew up because of something that happened within the game. And, yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not happy that I blew up. But you know, I lost my cool, and I am not the first person to lose my cool, and I'm not the last person. So, you know, people that are throwing stones, you know, I don't know what to say, because everybody is guilty of losing their cool on the show. So, yeah, but, you know, I'm not, I'm a loyal person, and, in general, I can tell you, like, I'm, you know, whatever happened, like, I mean, I don't know, trying to be nice about the situation. You know, and again, like, I don't wish, you know, any ill will toward John A.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, it is what it is. I mean, whatever happened, you know, she's going to have to live with what really happened. So, right. You know, I don't have to live with that. She does. So this was so much fun.
No, this was a ton of fun. I'm glad we were able to do this. Thanks for being here. Big 200.
The big 200. Congratulations. Cheers. Thank to you. And I'm so happy you're going to be a guest on our show, which is going to be great. And Yeah. I can't wait to see all of the other things that you end up doing.
Up from here.
Yeah, right? You are just climbing, so keep going. Keep going.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your weekend. If I don't get to talk to you again, have a great Thanksgiving as well.
Oh, you too. You too. Happy holidays.
Thank you. You as well. Bye-bye.
Bye.